Great to have your company for this hour, looking back at racing at the Valley and at Randwick yesterday. Terrific racing at both venues. Good morning to you, Dean Lester.
Yeah, good morning, Warren.
Terrific racing at both venues yesterday. And gee, Marty Sine, and not often track managers pray for rain, but he probably just got the perfect amount of rain leading into yesterday, Dean.
Yeah, I don't think anyone could have really complained about the conditions, Warren. It was, you know, just a nice bit to give out of the track. And probably as you're wanting to get into the spring, those horses will really rebound off that track ideally. And then, of course, in Sydney, we wanted to see Nature Strip put in a good show, and we wanted to see Zaki put in a good show, and they maybe even Zaki exceeded expectations.
Yes, it was almost an encore performance as I welcome in Brendan Delaney to the program. Good morning to you, and happy birthday, or happy Father's Day to you, Brendan. Happy birthday from weeks gone by.
Thank you, Warren. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. The kids managed to get the golf club right, shaft and everything. Amazing how that can happen. they did it right this morning. But a great day yesterday. It was almost like, you know, Moonee Valley's been a malign track in the past couple of, well, going back more than a couple of years now. But yesterday it seemed to be sort of to the Moonee Valley of old, where they were sweeping off the bend and horses being able to run on. The fence was good. It was okay to make ground. It was good to see the Valley back racing how we know the Valley can race.
It was a terrific day's racing. A shame it was without crowds, but we could certainly hear plenty of screaming from Damien Oliver, Brett Preble and the like, and Ollie urged Superstorm over the line in the Fian Stakes.
Streets of Avalon joined by Shot of Irish approaching the 450. Nonconformist three wide. Best of Days four wide. Elephant stoked along behind them. Sierra Sue needs a run. Then Chapada, Dawn Patrol and Superstorm the rails. Streets of Avalon around the corner at the 200 metres. Leaves the fence. There's a run for Elephant. Here's Nonconformist joining in with Shot of Irish. Superstorm back on the fence. Elephant takes the lead at the 150 from Streets of Avalon. Sierra Sue, the chosen one under the arches. Elephant just in front. Superstorm up on the fence. They go to the line. Dead Eat Photo. Elephant or Superstorm. Photo third. The chosen one, Nonconformist. Streets of Avalon. Sierra.
Not a lot of margin between a number of the runners, even the first 10 or so across the line. Only 2.5 lengths. Do you know? How did you see this race?
Yeah, well, exactly that, Warren. It was a very bunch finish. I think the first part of the race to sort of discuss was lack of speed. I mean, Sovereign Award coming out the morning of the race probably changed the dynamics a bit, but Streets of Avalon, a known leader, but led at a very, very gentle speed, and Shot of Irish, who's a known leader, just sitting happy to sit second there. And I think, that's why the horses closer to the inside just kept dragging up close to the inside. And then on the home turn, when Dean Yendall, went for the better ground with Streets of Avalon, as he saw it. Luke Curry ducked to the inside, and then Damien Oliver ducked to the inside of Luke Curry, and ultimately they've run the 1-2. So a lot to look at, and a lot of handy runs. Maybe not for the weight for age races, with the exception of maybe Superstorm, but with the handicaps in mind, I thought there were some good runs.
So with that relatively modest tempo, just from a positioning running point of view, Superstorm perhaps a bit closer, although up in distance from what we've seen of him previously, particularly his first run for Danny O'Brien. Did that contribute to where he settled, Dean?
Yeah, it did. And he had the direct speed drawn inside him, and so he was always going to probably end up three back the fence. And how many lengths off the lead that would be would be dependent on the speed. Had Sovereign Award been in the race, that might have been 12 or 15 lengths, but in this case it was three or four. And whilst he was a little bit flat-footed as they started to turn at the 450, Damien, great rider at just persevering on horses and keep nursing them and helping them. And he helped him through that time in the race, and then ducked to the inside and was able to get the nod right on the line.
Thoughts on the Fian, Brendan?
Yeah, Ollie had the luck go his way. I'm sure that Johnny Allen would have liked a little bit of luck on Sierra Sue. She's mighty unlucky not to have been three on the bounce and put herself in a Cox Plate field. She was right behind them all over their heels and just had nowhere to go. Everywhere Johnny went, you could almost see a grin on his face. He was just resigned to the fact that it wasn't going to happen for him with a couple of low-down shots. Superstorm, Ollie played the percentages. It fell his way. It was really good through the line. Elephant good. you know, taking on some horses that have been credentialed at better levels, him being the up-and-comer. Chose one coming past the school, and you probably thought he was the horse that was going to win the race on that three-wide line. Nonconformist did a good job, although the speed wasn't fast. He did cover ground three wide throughout, and then the likes of Sound, Chapada have all got pass marks from that race. You would suggest Dawn Patrol and even Realm of Flowers doing a little bit there at the back end. So looking towards some of the longer handicaps, as Dean touched on, there are a few horses that have kicked off their preparation in pretty good style.
Getting a few via the SMS, and Frank, we'll get to yours shortly about Zaki and how that form might line up. Dean, you said this race might be a good guide maybe for handicaps rather than the elite weight for age races. What are the key takeout points of the race?
I think the chosen one, you know, third in the Corville Cup, fourth in the Melbourne Cup last year. He started off well, and there was real intent for him to run well, but he did, and he's better at the handicap conditions of a race like the Corville Cup. As Brendan said, Chapada and Sound got pass marks. Dawn Patrol, best 800 to 400 in the race, and then maybe got on the bend, didn't get round the bend that well. So maybe his straight line speed shows it. Big track horse. He's done a lot of racing at the Curra and those sort of tracks, big tracks. So I want to see him when he gets to Flemington. And Realm of Flowers, third best last 200 in the race. So her first up run with an eye to, you know, she's getting ready for the Melbourne Cup as she's already in the field. Only Superstorm and the chosen one went home better than her the last 200. So she certainly ran okay.
Craig Williams noting in the stewards report, Dean, regarding Realm of Flowers, that she was not suited to the tight turning track. So, Brendan, she may be better suited on bigger tracks and obviously up in distance. Your key takeout points from the race?
Yeah, she was good, Realm of Flowers, and they're on a one-track mission, aren't they? She's in the cut. They know what they have to do to get her there. They just probably have to pray for soft ground. But you'd think the chosen one, he's maybe been a little bit of a forgotten horse with the boom horses such as incentivised coming on the scene. He's been there and done it at the top level, and we know he runs well fresh. He's stuck to that pattern, and he's run well in Caulfield Melbourne Cups previously. So maybe we might see him come to the fore front of a few more minds after his first up performance yesterday, knowing what he can do down the track.
We'll get to the Sydney meeting in more detail in the last 10 or 15 minutes of this hour, Dean, but in general, what's the gap between this performance and Zaki's performance yesterday?
Oh, I think significant. I think there's, you know, at least two or three lengths minimum, and then you factor in that Zaki was at 1400, and what we've seen of him at his best work's been at 1800 and 2,000 metres. So, they've got a bit of ground to make up, this group, and Superstorm's won himself a ticket into the Cox Plate. Whether he takes that path, it'd be an interesting one, because he probably goes now to the Underwood at Sandown Hillside, which will really suit him. Big track, 1,800, and then where he goes from there, whether he goes onto a, you know, Caulfield Stakes Cox Plate, or does he even take up a challenge of a Caulfield Cup? So now there's plenty of options for him going forward, but he's got a bit of ground to make up.
Comment on that comparison with Zaki, Brendan?
Yeah, Zaki has a bit on these in saying that yesterday the horse that he beat was getting beaten in heats of winter championships. He was good the way he done it. Not sure what you can say for those that chased Zaki yesterday. But you'd think they're more the handicappers that we seen in the Fiend yesterday. And when the Wait for Age ranks start to assemble themselves, not too sure that there's going to be too many of this field yesterday. Maybe Port Gualamain, they might have been hoping to get there, but on that run yesterday, he won't be. So, there's going to be different pathways for Zaki in the field yesterday in the Fan.
Back to the top of the program at the Valley. We kicked off over 1,500 metres for the three-year-olds, and Forgot You was trying to break his maiden metropolitan level.
Pair off these leaders at the 400 metres at Sandy Prince and Sea Lion. They're four lengths in front of Sunfall, who's giving strong chase, then Rock Artist, and behind them Venting. I think that's the race into the straight at the 200 metres. It's Sandy Prince kicking on the inside, a length in front of Sea Lion. Forgot You running on, 100 to go. Sandy Prince in front, a length and a half. The danger's Forgot You. Forgot You's flying home, and Forgot You from nowhere has got up to win it. Followed by Sandy Prince, Sunfall Venting there for third, and they were followed by behind them.
Strong to the line, Brendan. There looked to be some competition, and Rock Artist surprisingly not in that that more forward spot. What did you think about the way this race shaped up?
Forward enough, they went along at a pretty fast speed. Sandy Prince, Sea Lion, probably most would have had Sea Lion inside of Sandy Prince, but Craig Williams was pretty keen to get the lead on Sandy Prince in the run down to the first turn. And in pushing for the lead, he set up a really strong tempo. You thought Venting might have been the one that was in the A1 spot to come out after that hot speed, but going to be forgiving of his run. But Forgot You, he had that nice fresh run at Flemington. He did get into a little bit of traffic on the turn, not through his doing, horses rolling around, and maybe Sunfall just maybe starting to feel the pinch a little bit. But Daniel Moore, I thought, timed his run to perfection there yesterday. There was plenty wanting to bag him for the ride at Flemington, but then in his post-race interview yesterday, he said you can't win them all, and this horse is on a trajectory to something else, so they're happy to pick up what they can along the way, and yesterday he was there to win, and he won really well. Sandy Prince did a good job after setting that speed. Sunfall was okay. Venting, I'm not dropping off him. The race he won at Bendigo was a really slow affair, and he was dragged back, and it was just raw ability that got him home there, and then stark contrast yesterday, where he's really being chased along from a long way out. I think he'll benefit from that experience and maybe a bigger track, but Forgot You was a really strong performer. It's going to be interesting to see how far he'll get over the spring.
Dean, Stewart's report regarding Rock Artist: raced keenly in the early stages, weakened from the 300. Jai McNeil reported the gelding didn't run out the distance of today's event and may have come to the end of the preparation. Your thoughts on the first?
Yeah, look, I think it was a really good race, Warren, and the interesting thing is that you know, with Sandy Prince leading and Sea Lion and the pressure that was on early, he absorbed that, kicked, did everything right, but Forgot You had to actually pull out a tremendous late surge to win. It wasn't that the leader was fatiguing, but when you look at the sectionals, thanks again to Daily Sectional Times, Forgot You ran the 13th best last 400 of the meeting, but the 7th best last 200. So off a good speed, he's kept finding the line. That just shows to me he's got a lot of strength about him, and if they're aiming him up towards a race like the Derby, it's been a significant race for the Besutton Youngs over the journey. They've had horses like Tavi run and the Holy One run well in this, and then go on to the Stutt Stakes and run well, Wertheimer last year. And I think, again, this horse put himself right into calculations for a feature three-year-old race with this win. Sandy Prince, could see him rolling along in a Stutt Stakes and giving a great sight. I thought he ran really well. I thought they were the two best runs in the race. Sunfall, Venting. Venting did enough towards a staying path too, and a bigger track, I think, would suit him. But very taken with the first two performances in a good pressure race.
Onwards and upwards for Forgot You, running on strongly at the end of a solidly run race, as the Daily Sectional Times, courtesy of Vince Accardi, point out to us. Good performance, Forgot You. Terrific ride from Mr. Brightside. Race two, Craig Williams combining with Ben and JD Hayes.
Up towards the corner at the 400 metres. It's Ballet Master just in front with Mark the Horse, who's had a tough run. Mr. Brightside now joining in three wide, the favourite approaching the turn. At the 250, it's Mr. Brightside up to Mark the Horse. Then came on the inside Ballet Master, Rare Defence, and Chief Eltony to the middle. Mr. Brightside, 150 metres to go, led a length and a half, Chief Eltony, and then Air Defence. Mr. Brightside going well. Mr. Brightside will win. Mr. Brightside beat Chief Eltony and Worsfold, and then a gap Ballet Master. Next in the field was...
Bit to take out of this race, Dean, and Will Price aboard Worsfold will incur a 9-meeting suspension out of this race. They just haven't quite figured out the dates for that yet. Your thoughts on race two?
Yeah, he's just a good winning horse, Mr. Brightside, isn't he? He was in a beautiful spot, and it was a bit of the theme of the day, getting that three wide trail into the race, and Mark the Horse, who'd been planted three wide, just gave him a really good cart to the home turn, which was all he needed, and then he kicked off the bend and won well. Chief Eltony, I thought, ran well. Worsfold was a good run. He drawn inside and doesn't sort of begin that cleanly, and he on the home turn just came out and certainly bumped Orleans Rock, and then had to duck and weave through traffic, so his run was very good again. But Mr. Brightside, he's been they've used the class system beautifully, Ben and JD Hayes, with this horse, and they're getting the rewards and getting a Saturday win with him.
Face Mask has to go back to the jump outs after being a little bit unruly for Reece McLeod, Brendan. Craig Williams getting that three-wide train, as Dino outlined. How do you see this race?
Face mask was in a bit of a mood, wasn't he? He looked like he was dropping out and not wanting to play any part, and then all of a sudden there he was running through the line again under no pressure. But Mr. Brightside found himself three wide, but in a race where it wasn't taxing being three deep, they weren't going overly fast, and gave him the opportunity to build his momentum, which others didn't get to do. Worsfold was always going to be tricky for him with that low barrier and getting cluttered back on the inside. Orleans Rock, just forget it ever went around. Everywhere it went, it found trouble. Skidor was okay back down towards the inside, had to wait a long time to try and get clear. Ballet Master with the big weight, they tried to trick him back into form with the blinkers, and he was okay on the speed. Ghost Doctor can drop back to something easier after covering a stack of ground there yesterday. But Mr. Brightside just got the right run in a race. It was really messy at the end.
Dean, you and I were giving Orleans Rock a chance. Brett Prebble's reported the gelding travelled well in the early middle stages and then received some interference prior to straightening and did not run on. I'm not convinced he was going as well as would have put him right in the finish. What do you think now post the race for Orleans Rock?
He was very close to being running on empty when that moment came, Warren. He got knocked down because he hadn't advanced into the race, and maybe the two runs of 2,000 metres are just taking too much speed out of his legs, because he was playing, and I'm dropping off him for a while now.
Mr. Brightside, maybe onwards and upwards after a bit of a break. He's come a long way in a short time since joining the Lindsay Park stable and really racing his way through the grades. A horse that just avoided some of the better horses in the last couple of weeks, My Numero Uno. He might have to step up in grade in the weeks ahead. Part of a big day for Nick Ryan in race three.
Race on in earnest, coming up to the turn at the 300. Scissor Step Generation, My Numero Uno, three across the course. Athelric runs up behind them, getting off the rails. Taunting is back behind them. My Numero Uno up to Generation at the 150. Athelric down the middle. My Numero Uno led from Generation. Athelric, My Numero Uno punched out. Athelric's having a lunch late. My Numero Uno's beaten Athelric. Generation, a gap. Taunting. Then Scissor Step, and behind those, more Karuba doing it.
Athelric making a late lunge. Brendan, your thoughts on race three?
Yeah, Thalric devoid of a little bit of luck again, but he was good once he got clear. But My Numero Uno just got into the right spot on the back of a pretty solid speed. Scissor Step, Saunting, Generation, Exceed, Expect, all made it a real race down to that first turn. And it was always going to set it up for something that could drop him behind. And My Numero Uno was the one that was able to get him behind, but then still have the opportunity to make ground and have clear air to come into the race. Unlike Rick, who was to the inside and had to duck and dive underneath him. It was a good win at Sandown. He's backed it up there yesterday. Generation did a good job after racing on the speed. Taunting, it was something completely different to what he's ever seen before there yesterday, and maybe that experience will spur him on. Scissor Step just got burnt up on the speed and tired out. More Karuba was the eye catcher last on the turn, has really charged through late, picked off some tired ones, but still had a full head of steam up running through the line, so a good performance there. But My Numero Uno given a really good ride from Reece McLeod. He got into a lovely spot and was strong late.
Dean, the stewards report might highlight what Brendan was talking about. Athelric held up for clear running from passing the 300, and Taunting might have some excuses. Lost a new four plate during the run, revealed the colt to be lame in the near foreleg post race and requires a clearance prior to racing again, so perhaps a forgive for Taunting, Dean.
Oh, definitely, Warren, and that probably explains why coming to the home turn he was on the wrong leg. Maybe he was just getting away from that, and I think a few things. He's run his races on his own terms in Adelaide. He's been on big tracks like Murray Bridge and Morpheville and those and the likes, even Gawler when he won. It's a nice, you know, but he was doing it on his terms. Yesterday he was being dictated to, and I thought he was going to drop right out, and I thought to his credit he battled on well, and then he's had excuses post-race, so it's an absolute forgive for Taunting. But good training by Nick Ryan, My Numero Uno, ticked him over with a quiet, soft, you know, only a slow trial at Flemington recently, and then topped off by a really good ride by Reece McLeod, just to identify that Generation was the one to beat, got onto his in the three wide line, and then, you know, put the pressure to them on the turn, because they'd done a bit of work, and then was able to hold off. Athelric was very good. I'm a real fan of more Karuba from even when he won at Pakenham last preparation, but it'll be at 1600 and beyond. He's a son of Swear, who ran well in a derby, so I could see him getting over a lot longer, but his first up run was good.
Terrific ride, terrific training performance from Nick Ryan to take out race three. Alana Kelly got an opportunity in the Nick and Lloyd Williams colours aboard De Graves in race four.
Dr. Drill and Pancho sprint up approaching the turn at the 300. Dr. Drill took the lead. Heart of Puissance presenting on the outside, given every possible. De Graves is starting to pick up the bit again in the straight. Heart of Puissance, Dr. Drill, they bumped. De Graves runs on at the 100. Dr. Drill, Heart of Puissance still not there. Now moves up stride for stride. De Graves late. Heart of Puissance, Dr. Drill with De Graves coming at them. They hit it. Photo. De Graves or Heart of Puissance from Dr. Drill third. Then came Berade or Ladon de Vigne.
Well, firstly, Dean, a terrific opportunity for Alana Kelly to secure the ride for the Robert Hickmott stable in these colours. How did it unfold for her?
Well, she did so much right in the race. Early in the race, you know, going out of the straight, Damien Lane tested the waters on Coolth, trying to push her out. Dr. Drill was to her outside. She held her ground there and so ended up in a good spot. Coming to the turn, I thought she just had to keep playing for that run and hoping that something would open up. And, you know, with Dr. Drill, Josh Richards carrying the whip in the left hand, just wandered off on straightening. And De Graves has got that real liking to, you know, he lays in a little bit. So she was able to go straight down to the rail and put the whip into the left hand and drive him to the line. So she did a lot right to win. Heart of Puissance did a lot wrong in losing because the blinkers came off. And I think he got outside Dr. Drill and thought, well, job done. I think he had a lot more focus when he had the blinkers on. They came off yesterday. I think they'll be back on pretty soon. He ran very well. Dr. Drill ran well. Ladon de Vigne couldn't get that leading spot where we've seen him really dictate and dominate a race. I thought his effort was more than satisfactory there. Berade did enough. Coolth's going okay and probably needs a bigger track now. But no, I think all honours with Alana Kelly, the way she rode the horse, but Heart of Puissance, I think probably with a set of shades, I might have got the money.
Do we learn anything about De Graves? More give in the ground yesterday than there was at his previous start, and no doubt fitter?
Yeah, and I think all that really helped. The give in the ground, bit fitter, right down in the weights. He's not very big, so I think it all helped. It was a good combination for him to win yesterday. What that sets him up for going forward, I'm not sure, but he got a prize yesterday.
Thoughts here, Brendan?
Really good ride by Alana Kelly. I mentioned to Dean yesterday that you would think with a young rider like Alana, there'd be a lot of added pressure pulling on the Lloyd Williams colours with their history in racing, and she pulled it off magnificently yesterday. As Dean mentioned, in the run to the first turn, vital part of the race, and she wasn't there to be pushed around, and then she really thought her way through the race from the 800 metres and pulled all the right reins and got it done superbly. Hopefully, when she's putting on a show like she did, she had a really good losing ride last Saturday at Caulfield. Field. She can ride like, hopefully we might see her get an opportunity in a really nice race throughout the spring. But De Graves was good, wet, softer ground, definitely in his favour there. Heart of Puissance, when the blinkers come on, you would just think he's going to win next time. Dr. Drill back to the 2,000. Berade's very close to winning a race, and I'm going to be forgiving of Coulth. He got onto the rail, probably a place where he didn't want to be, and then Dark Dream just dropped in his face from the 600, and he was forced to take a path around the outside when he was hunting through nearer the inner. So I'm going to be forgiving of him and thinking that a win's not too far away, but a bigger track is most certainly something that he's going to be after. And Pancho maybe just felt the effect of that really solid run last time. He got a run up on the speed like he did last time, but a much gentler tempo and couldn't finish it off. So maybe that just took the edge off him. But a great ride from Alana Kelly, but you would think there's going to be a couple of winners out of this one in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, Dean, quick comment on Pancho following that peak performance last start.
Yeah, I think probably he likes that drier ground for one thing, but last start, as we know, they were ripping along at you know, Cox Plate-like speed. They were, you know, for the first 1,200, they went about a bit over 3 seconds slower. Now, yeah, the ground was slower, but they were going a lot more pedestrian and then really sprinted up. I just think that win might have taken a lot out of him, or maybe the dynamics didn't suit him, but it was a totally different race to the one he faced 2 weeks ago.
McEwen Stakes over 1,000 metres was race 5 at the Valley yesterday. Cliff Brown and Damien Lane are building a good association.
to La Rocca took a steady approaching the turn, led from Portland Sky, who's about to stool it up again. A length and a half, Ashlaw, Sakala had Fine Day in the fence, the Inferno deepest, then Wisdom of Water, September run second last, still five off the front from Bold Star. Esther La Rocca, 200 to go. Portland Sky ambles up on the outside. Then came the Inferno. Portland Sky lets down 100 to go. The Inferno's giving it a race and went on by. September run late. The Inferno is burning today and won it from a photo. September run or Portland Sky. And they were followed next in the field by Esther La Rocca, Fine Day, St. Callaghan.
Cliff Brown throwing out the prospect of an Everest for the Inferno after that race. Brendan, what did you make of his performance yesterday?
Well, you'd think he'd enjoy a high-pressure Everest with the way he went yesterday. First look at the replay, trying to first look at the race, trying to find an excuse for Portland Sky, but then when you go back and watch it again, numerous occasions, it's hard to find one for him. He got across pretty comfortably from the gate, got a nice breather coming through the gap and approaching the turn. You thought, well, he's just going to kick and go on and win. He did kick, but he couldn't win. He got the better of Esther La Rocca, but the Inferno really enjoyed that that speed. He was fitter than what we've seen him at Caulfield, more to his racing style, getting back in the field, and he really launched like a horse that can play a serious part in some of the feature sprint races coming up throughout the spring. Portland Sky disappointing, but you hope he can bounce off that. He was beaten and but had excuses when he went to Brisbane fresh and then came back and won the Manfred and the Oakley Plate, so hopefully he might be able to turn that around, but he was a little disappointing. September run was good. She was back with the Inferno. The Inferno got away from her. She took a little ground off late, but nice to see her make some ground. Esther La Rocca, okay. Really forgiving of Wisdom of Water. He got in behind Fine Dane, Ashlaw and Sir Callahan. The Inferno put him in there, and he really had to wait. When the Inferno was exhilarating around the outside, he was forced to wait. I liked what he did through the back part of the race once he did get clear. But all honours to the Inferno. He's got a good record, and he showed us why he's got such a good record yesterday.
How'd you mark his win yesterday, Dean?
Very highly, Warren. I actually think Portland Sky didn't do a lot wrong, and I thought he was okay. I just think the winner was exceptional, and September run, as she does, ran the best late sections of the meeting, last 600, 400, 200, but that's her. We know what she's going to do. So the Inferno was either brilliant, and at 1,000 metres, so you know his form goes up to 1,600 metres, but always in Singapore in fast-run races. So he got that yesterday where he didn't get that at Caulfield. If he does happen to match motors in an Everest, you know he's going to get a fast speed. I think he's a really interesting story coming through. He's got a fantastic winning record, and he likes high pressure. So, you know, there's plenty to like about him to say that he'll win a Group 1 feature sprint race. Whether he wins an Everest, I'm not sure, but I loved his win yesterday.
What do you think the plans could be with September run down here from the Wallace stable?
Well, I don't really know. I think probably she, you know, because she's a Group 1 mare as such, she'd probably run in a race like the Moya, but and the Manicato, but ultimately the Dali would be her main goal. Or does she just, you know, go to a race like the Gilguy at 1,200 and pick that off and keep that magnificent straight record going? So, you know, there's plenty of options. I don't think she'd be picked up for a slot in the Everest, because if you think back to the autumn equivalent of the Everest, and that's what the TJ Smith really is, she might have been at the back end of a prep, but a horse like Nature Strip really brought her undone in that race. So I think, you know, the tempo of straight races really suits her best.
Exciting win, an important win for Cliff Brown back here from Singapore. We know what a good trainer he is. A Group 2 victory with the Inferno in the McEwen Stakes at the Valley yesterday. The Atlantic Jewel for the three-year-old fillies over 1,200 metres. Zuzarella was coming from a debut victory at the Valley, taking on stronger company.
The leader, Queen of Dubai, as the field clutter up now, approaching the turn at the 400. From Scorched Earth commands the field. Libiamo stokes up four deep, a length away Zuzarella, and then came behind them La Rock, and Argenti is trying to get a run, badly bailed away. Scorched Earth takes the lead at the 150. Zuzarella's the threat. Scorched Earth joined by Zuzarella. Zuzarella takes the lead inside the 100. She's powering away, and Zuzarella won it from Larkspur Run. Literary Magnate through for third, Mac and Cheese four. There were some runs in this, then Queen of...
Bit of a stewards report here, Dino, and some congestion back to nearer the inside. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, there was. There's a bit to dissect with this race, wasn't there, Warren? But ultimately, the one thing we've got to take from it was Zuzarella is a good filly. She built off that first up win, which was a good race as well. But, you know, the clear air blending down the centre of the track, Brett Prebble seems to have a real understanding of what she needs, and it worked out really well with her. It was, you know, a pretty good speed. Scorched Earth was the first one to tackle, then Zuzarella pounced on them. At the stage where Argentia needed luck, she didn't get it. I don't know if trying to get her into a spot early absolutely agreed with her. Maybe the valley, you know, the valley was probably against her. But yeah, she can go to a race like the Jim Maloney in 3 weeks, Sandown Hillside 1400, and I think we'd see the real Argentia, and she could bounce straight back to form. But yeah, as you said, plenty to dissect. And I think even Libby Armo, who I was giving a chance to yesterday, found trouble and then had a post-race script in the stewards report as well.
Yeah, Dean Yendall copping a suspension aboard Literary Magnate for causing interference to Libby Armo, who had to be steadied. So plenty to talk about there with...
I think she bled also.
Libby Armo.
Yep.
She's not gallop on a race course for a period of 2 months or start in a race for a period of 3 months and then only after a satisfactory gallop over 1,000 metres. So unfortunate for Graham Begg and connections there. Brendan, how did you see the race?
Yeah, it's probably a race where Ollie looked up at the 600 and probably thought to himself, oh no, the horses that were all around him, 100-1 chance in front, La Roque in front of him being ridden forward, and it was just not a good scenario for Argentia. Was she going well enough in the race to get out and beat the winner? We'll never know, but you'd think she's going to be better suited away from Moonee Valley. Winner really good. Interesting to hear Brett Prebble's comments after the race. It doesn't matter what you do with them when they're that good. That's something that really pricks the ears up. We've seen her twice, both very similar sort of wins, out and building momentum in clear air, and she was strong through the line there yesterday. Didn't mind the run of Literary Magnet back down towards the inside. Had to duck and dive through. I thought did enough. Trialled with a pretty smart one that we've seen at, of all places, Warwick Nabil, in preparation for this. And you think that form's not going to be too far off the mark. Mac and Cheese, a really good run. She began better than she began in Adelaide when she was not in the good books with Tony McAvoy. But she just got checked at the 800, put out the back, and then she's a big girl that had to gather herself up and come through the inside of horse. I thought her run was really good, and that's about it from that one. Yeah, Zuzarella, really good. Brett Prebble, he speaks very, very highly of her, so it's going to be interesting to see how far she gets. And Argentia on a bigger track is what we're looking forward to next time.
Two runs at 1,200 metres for Zuzarella, Dean. What does her figures, particularly yesterday, tell us about her potential to stretch out beyond 1,200?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be an issue, Warren. She's got a good, relaxed manner about her. Big stride. We've only seen her at the Valley, but you know, whether she goes to Guinea's Prelude or the Maloney Stakes, as I mentioned, I think they're the logical steps for her. And looking at you know, her figures yesterday, it was a race where the pressure was, you know, she had to make good ground into the race. She held that to about 200, and just, you know, as opposed to the rest of the field, you know, she was strong, but to the rest of the day, she fatigued a little bit late. Only Mac and Cheese was the one that went home a bit better than her. So, yeah, her win was very good. And, yeah, I think a big track and a different sort of race structure would suit her even better.
Another stakes win for Brett Prebble, having a great time of it and really poised to have an impact on the spring as we get deeper into it, with some key rides secured for some feature races. Race 7 was over 1,200 metres. Nick Ryan was shooting for a big odds double with Express Pass.
Great again, just in front of Pintoff Kelcani Royale. A length ancestry. Azar needs a run. So too Bella Nipotina. And then came Express Pass and Irish Flame from Order of Command around the turn. Great again, Pintoff Kelcani Royale. Express Pass makes a line of four. Then Bella Nipotina, Irish Flame. Express Pass goes for home. 100 metres to go. Well clear of Bella Nipotina when it's all too late. Express Pass wins. Bella Nipotina, Irish Flame, then Azar. Next Pintoff and Great again.
Apologies for the SMS earlier on. I didn't ask Nick Ryan if he had something on the double with the two double figure odds winners yesterday. Brendan, what did you make of the win of Express Pass?
Yeah, he got into the right spot and was building his momentum at the right time. Those on the speed had done a bit of work to get there. Great again, Kalkani Royal. Pintoff was wide from his gate and was up there on the speed for a long way. And when they were starting to tire on, Bella Nipotina was looking to come off their heels. Express Pass had a full head of steam up and was really charging on. Nice ride from Jai McNeil, albeit he covered a fair bit of ground. He just rolled with the horse and didn't disappoint him and try and go back and look for cover. Was positive enough on him to ensure that he was there on the turn and ready to go. Bella Nipotina, nothing open when she needed it. Irish Flame, a sensational run first up, was a mile off them coming up the side. And doesn't matter what trip they send Irish Flame out at, he always runs a really nice race. Although Asar was better, Pintoff's really big forgive for yesterday. Four and five deep at different stages of the race and stuck it out okay. He was only beaten three lengths in the end. The rest of them were pretty tired in behind. Great again, Kalkani Royal, all up on that speed. Battle and Order of Command was sort of on their heels and never really got a clear run. One that left me scratching my head a little bit after it, Dallasan, back down towards the inside in that sort of race. Probably not where you want him to be, but just would have liked to have seen him go through the line a little bit better than he did.
Dallasan underwent a veterinary examination on arrival on course to sustaining a wound on the off-fore elbow. It was passed fit to race. Dean, got one from Rhino from Deniliquin, a regular SMS. We'll get to that shortly. Firstly, let's get your take on this race.
Yeah, I just thought the race panned out really well for Express Pass, Warren. And this is a classic case of speed maps certainly aren't everything, and there's been a lot of debate about them, but an awareness of where speed might come from in a race. And you had two or three drawn out wide that were going to press on, and two and three to the inside that had tactical speed. So it was always going to be sort of good speed right around, from the draw. And those middle horses just were able to sort of funnel in. And even though Express Pass was covering ground, there was a good line of horses to take him into the race, and it worked out really nicely. And ultimately, he actually got travelling so well that he had to come out around, say, Ancestry at about the 500-metre mark and just keep rolling into the race. And from there, he just pounced on them on straightening, and the race was over. Brendan just spoke of Irish Flame. I just think he's a tremendous horse. He lines up. He just does his best every time he goes around. Bella Nipotina, just an awkward spot at an awkward time of the race. And I think Dallasan, I think the problem with a horse like Dallasan drawing well is he's got enough speed to be relatively close, and maybe that made his run look a bit one pace yesterday. I think had he drawn 10 or 11, they'd have ridden him quieter, and he'd have been one running through the line. So I'm not sort of giving up on that. I just think he was probably too close to his top all the way yesterday.
From Rhino, part of our Deniliquin fan base, Dean and Brendan. Good morning, gentlemen. Interesting comments on the track saying you need to be wide and swooping. Then the last two races hard up on the fence. Do you add merit to those wins, or are the jockeys just sheep following each other? Thoughts firstly on how you assess the way the track played, Dean?
Well, I think from afar the track played pretty well fine. The thought was that as it the day went on, it was visually showing wear. And so that was why there was a bit of an angle away from the rail. But you get a race like the race before the final two races, the race we've just discussed. Great again, to be fair, his form of late's only just fair, and he had a lot of pressure to his outside. Bella Nipotina was in the same lane. She just had to get around him and then ran on and ran second. So I don't think it was that inferior, and it might have been a bit overplayed, more the visual than actually how it was playing.
And as the day goes on, even though there might be some wear and tear, Dean, it was quite a breezy day. So what I've learnt from some experienced track walkers is that if the track's drying out, then you don't necessarily pay that much penalty for what you think might be a little bit worn ground near the inside.
Well, it's very true. Yeah, it opens up and dries out, and long as it doesn't get rained on and those divots get a little bit of water in them, it can dry out a lot. And we've seen this a lot at the Knight Valley meetings too, Warren, when you think that every week they race there and you know that there's a lot of wear, and the inside week in, week out plays really well because it's just opened up and dry and it plays really well. And no, I had no problem with the track yesterday. I think it just came down to how the races were run. And I think they overplayed it a bit in the fan stakes by going so slowly.
Brendan, a comment there?
Now, we know they all like to follow each other when they're coming away from the fence, but I'm sure Craig Williams would have liked them to have come off the fence in the Chautauqua. I'm sure he would have been more than happy to go up there on the inside on Ballinipatina, but it did look a little bit worn down towards the inside, but it was an improving track. It was pretty windy, so it wasn't going to be chopped out and any to any degree softer down there towards that inside section. Without being an expert track walker, I think... The two horses that won the last two races were presented with runs to the inside, and their best chance at winning was to go there, and they were more than happy to take it. So if it's the jockey's prerogative to come off the fence, well, good luck to them, but they're letting others into the race behind them.
Superstorm was the one that took that opportunity to win the Fionn back up on the inside for Damien Oliver, and we get to the last. Don't Do It Dory had trialled up well for Julian Welsh. Carlene Heffel was back near the inside late.
Turn. Tory Joy the leader. Wicklow Towns grinding away. Don't Doubt Dory back to the inside. Then Viral Think We're Due winning partner. Tory Joy 100 to go. Don't Doubt Dory and Wicklow Town. Tory Joy. Don't Doubt Dory's got it. Don't Doubt Dory won it. Second is a head bobber between Wicklow Town or Tory Joy and late Aussie Nugget.
Making it 6 from 13 in his career to date, Dino, with three other minor placings. So Julian Welsh, and in particular Carlene Heffel, has had a good association with him, done a terrific job with Don't Doubt Dory.
Yeah, he's been, I think he won a Stony Creek Cup very early in his career, so he's been in sort of open grade or solid grade pretty early, and he's done a terrific job, and he loves that jar out of the track. When the track was improving, I was a little bit concerned that maybe he would have preferred it wetter, but with 51 on his back, doesn't matter. He trialled up well. He's so good fresh, and he just really wanted the win late. It was a very good, determined effort.
What do you make of the runs behind?
I thought the efforts immediately behind, I thought Tory Joy was brave on the speed because it was a good speed. That's what she likes to do, is roll along on the speed. Aussie Nugget, you couldn't miss his closing effort. It was a really good effort out wider on the track. Wicklow Town, very well backed Wicklow Town, and he rode the speed with the lightweight, battled on okay, and Dukon never really got to hit top speed, I don't think, Warren. I know you were a bit keen on him, and I thought had he got a little bit more room, he'd have figured a bit closer anyway, and it was a run in keeping with how he trialled and galloped leading into the first up run.
Yeah, Dukon fifth without much luck in the home straight. You can mount a case to say he might have been able to pick up a little bit of an each-way presence there. What are your thoughts on the last, Brendan?
Yeah, Carlene Heffel playing the patient game and taking the inside runs. Tory Joy, good as Dean outlined on the good speed. Hard to miss Aussie Nugget there, getting home with his 52 kilos on the back. You've touched on Dukon. Winning partners, really hard track, solid tempo, and we've seen him boom down the outside last time. Maybe just that little bit of softness in the ground didn't help him out there yesterday, and High Stranger missed a consistency. He just got cluttered up and got a lot further back than he likes to be, and never really got his chance to wind up into the race. And the disappointing one that I was looking forward to seeing anyway was Cormorant. He wasn't there to play yesterday. You have to go back and have a look at his run two starts ago at Leopardstown when he was a pacemaker behind Tiger Moth. He ran a really good race up on the speed there yesterday, but he didn't look all that interested in being there yesterday at Moonee Valley.
Nothing from the stewards report regarding Cormorant with respect to a post-race veteran examination. And the same with High Stranger, although held up for a couple of strides. He just wasn't the usual High Stranger that we know yesterday. Terrific day's racing at the Valley. Credit to Marty Sinan and the team for the way they presented the track, getting that rainfall leading into the meeting, and it racing very well right throughout the day. Plenty to look forward to next week, heading to Flemington with the Maccabi Diva. But after this break, we'll take a look at a big meeting at Randwick.
Got to the front and kicked away in the tramway from Dreamforce, Prime Star. Aramea late on the scene, but he basically picks up where he left off in Brisbane. This is a demolition job in the tramway. Eased him down, Zaki, to win it by two lengths to Aramea. Star of the Sea, third.
Easy win, Dean. Now, Brendan might have made a valid point. Aramea, Star of the Seas, rock behind. But how did you assess the win yesterday of Zaki?
I think it was like watching him have one of his preparatory trials in getting ready for something better. That's fine. Aramea ran well, and as Star of the Seas, rock, we know their sort of work. But had James McDonald not throttled him down late, there was probably another two or three lengths there, and and that was at 1400. He wasn't expected to be that sort of horse, I think, when he came over, but my goodness, he's got that ability to just keep cruising into a race and improving, and that's what he did. When you look at the sectional times, when he put the foot down from the 400 to the 200, he just reeled off a 10.94, and just that was when he put the race beyond doubt.
Frank via SMS earlier on is just wondering how they're going to beat him. Don't think there is a horse in Australia that will get near Zaki. Do you agree, from Frank? Do you know, can you see something beating him in the weeks ahead?
Look, it'll be a fantastic clash if they run in the George Main, he and Very Elegant. And I'm thinking he's going to have a great spring. So, no, I'm pretty confident he can win his way right through the spring.
Yeah, he looks that style of horse to me. Brendan, your comments there?
Yeah, it's going to be hard for something to beat him in the coming days. We're not sure what we're seeing from the internationals unless a three-year-old somewhere bursts onto the scene to challenge him. I know I did make the comment that he only beat Arameo yesterday, but that was a bit of a tongue-in-cheek sort of comment because of the way how he picked them up and put them away. And James McDonald, very kind. It was almost a barrier trial, what he had there yesterday, very similar to Nature Strip. So, yeah, something's going to have to come out of left field, but we're playing, it is horse racing and anything can happen, so I think all being bad luck, he's going to be very hard to be beaten throughout the spring though.
The big boy Nature Strip was back in the Concord Stakes Race 5 at Randwick yesterday over 1,000 metres. James McDonald aboard for Chris Waller.
Nature Strip with the ears prick travelling to the turn. By two lengths on Wild Ruler doing the chasing on the inside of Atalonga. Two off to handle the truth and now trekking revved up, four off them and Standout gets to the outside. Nature Strip is cruising in the lead here at the 250 from Wild Ruler and trekking, getting past Atalonga and then Standout, but Nature Strip in full flight here in the Tab Concord and at his third tilt of the race. He's a big winner today. Nature Strip won it by three lengths to Wild Ruler. Trekking third.
Well, we know what he's capable of. Brendan, what did you make of his return yesterday?
Yeah, probably should have just put some cones out and sent them around them. That was just like a barrier trial on a Monday or a Tuesday morning, wasn't it? He found the front. Wild Ruler was there with his chance, and he tried hard, and Trekking's run his usual honest race, but he was back in. He was feeling good, and he's just a bit better than them when everything goes to script for him. We know it can come unstuck, but there wasn't a horse there yesterday to really bring him unstuck with that tempo. He was able to find the lead and find his rhythm, and once he can do that, he's a tough, tough beast to crack.
Dean, he's got a decent body of work behind him now. How did you mark Nature Strip's performance yesterday?
Oh, there was plenty to just love about it. I know it was run at a low pressure, but that was good that he could actually contain his energy first up, because when you look at some of his previous runs, and he's been defeated in this race twice before, and it's mainly because he's gone so hard in the middle stages, whereas yesterday he was about three lengths below standard for the first 200 metres, and then only about a length above standard from the 800 to the 400. So then he built, and often he doesn't run as fast as he is. He often doesn't run the best late sectional of the day, but he ran the best 400 and 200 of the meeting because he just had such a controlled gallop. And it looked that way at a recent jump out, which is often hard to tell because there was only four or so in the jump out, but he relaxed beautifully for Glenn Schofield in that jump out, and yesterday exactly the same. So I think if he can, you know, harness it that way, that's how he races often in the autumn, but we don't see it in the spring, and that was a good start to his campaign.
You mentioned earlier that the TJ Smith and the Everest are almost the spring and autumn equivalents of each other. If you were having a pick in the Everest at this stage, where would you be aligning yourself?
I'll have aligned myself to Masked Crusader on a long-range tipping on Seven Sport, so I've got to stick there. But what I will say about Nature Strip is often his lead-up to the Everest has been interrupted with races where he's gone too hard or things have gone wrong, or he's come to Melbourne, he won a Moir on the way through. So this time he's had a beautiful start to his preparation, so that's got to set him up a bit better than what we've seen in the past.
You having a pick in the Everest now, Brendan? Where are you putting your money?
Oh, no, I'm not having a pick yet. There's too much water to go under the bridge and too much that can happen. It's going to be a fascinating contest. Nature Strip up on the speed. Masked Crusader at the back. Classic Legend, if he's back somewhere near what we've seen of him in the middle somewhere. And them all charging late, you can see it being anyone's race at about the 150. So I'm more than happy to get splinters and sit on the fence at this stage of the Everest equation.
Think It Over was able to win a George Ryder, ran well behind a day, had been very elegant in a Queen Elizabeth. He was lining up in the Chelmsford yesterday.
They turn for home. Riadini still going well. Riadini three in front from Shared Ambition. Think It Over gets to third, followed by Fun Fact, Cucaracha, Cascadian, making minor headway. Modifilia down the outside. Riadini in front. Think It Over's the main chaser, the only chaser. Riadini still in front from Think It Over, is getting serious now. Riadini a half in front, a neck in front. Think It Over lunges the outside. Oh, this is awfully close. Think It Over's made the lunge at Riadini right on the wire, and there's nothing in it. Good gap back to Modifilia third, then...
Some good technology in Sydney, Dino. 0.06 of a length, the official margin there for Think It Over. Your thoughts there?
Yeah, he's a terrific horse, Warren. I thought the rides here, Riadini, beautifully rated for the first half of the race, put the foot down from the 800 to the 400. And that's why this race didn't change a lot, but Think It Over, Group 1 quality horse, as you said, the Group 1 quality horse in Cascadian running on, and the run I loved was Montefilia. I just hope she doesn't have a... I thought in the autumn it was a sort of a mix-and-match preparation. I hope she goes from this maybe to the George Main, to the Hill Stakes, to the to the Caulfield Cup. I think she's a very, very good mare, and I think if she's aimed up at something like the Caulfield Cup, we saw her beaten in the Oak Stand here, but after two massive peak runs in the Flight and the Champion, I think if she aims up at a race at the Caulfield Cup, she could run really well. I loved her first up run in a race where, as I said, not a lot changed, but she just kept wanting to find the line.
What are you taking out of this race, Brendan?
Think It Over, good, got the runs that I'm sure James Innes would have liked to have gotten in the winks his first up run, and winner was good. Riadini back up on the speed, given a lovely time by Rachel King, and made it really hard for those behind to make ground. But as Dean's touched on it, a race that didn't change a lot with horses like Cascadian that we know can really charge and make ground. Montefilia's run was outstanding. She was a long, long way back and ran past some horses that are armed with pretty good finishes. So she's the one I'm really taking out of the Chelmsford.
Number of three-year-old fillies that went around in the Silver Shadow recently lined up again the Furious Stakes yesterday.
Enterprise Pom, two in front to Joyous Legend, Robodera. Then came Swift Witness, knuckling down. Several lengths further back to She's All Class, Mallory wide out. Dean Andretti and Najmati starting to slice through the pack. Enterprise Pom being tackled by Robodera. Swift Witness can't get there now. Jamea wide out, swapping them with a big run late. Robodera and Jamea. Robodera, Jamea. I think Jamea went home best. Give it to Jamea in the Furious Stakes, and a photo from Robodera. Great finish there.
They seem pretty evenly graded, this group, Brendan, with Luck in Running playing a significant part.
Yeah, most definitely. They walled across the track out after Enterprise Pom and Robodera at about the 300 metres, and with Clear Edge, Amaya was the one that was able to pick him up down the outside. Robodera did a good job on speed. Mallory was okay. Enterprise Pom battled on all right, four moves ahead down to the inside, I thought, did a good job. And Najmati had a stack of traffic in front of her. Not a lot between them, and as you touched on, I think next time they meet, Luck in Running is going to play a massive part.
Dean, a comment on this group or this race in particular?
I just think this group of fillies, in general, we've seen them always being behind the colts, and maybe the fillies like Zuzarella coming along in Melbourne, and Heresy, and we're still hoping for Argentia. So they're the sort of horses I think that are a real chance of dominating the spring ranks, because there's not a lot between these, and as Brendan said, Luck in Running. So, it's an interesting time with the fillies, but if you had something coming along at the last minute, you wouldn't be afraid to take them on.
A little bit left field and a question without notice, but gentlemen, just wanted to know if we picked the performance of Enchantingly late in the day in Adelaide yesterday. I'll start with you, Dino. Did you imagine to see that demolition job from Enchantingly?
Oh, I didn't. I saw the margin, but I haven't seen the race, no.
Horse that did win in good style, Brendan. Was it something that caught your eye?
I did see the win of Enchantingly. It was big. It kept running and really gave nothing else a chance. Margins previous haven't been great, but won yesterday. Not sure really of the class of the race. It was a 68 race on a Saturday, and maybe had Bones fronted up there, it might have been a little bit different story. But certainly had plenty on the opposition yesterday.
couple via the SMS. I'll get to one from Herb for you shortly, Dino, when we get your tips for the day. But Chris from Traralgon just wanting to know, Tony McAvoy mentioned a race for winning partner back to the Moonee Valley meeting in about 10 days' time. That'll be the Balaclava Cup on Wednesday the 15th. And I think he might even be a previous winner of the Balaclava Cup, is he, Dino?
Yeah, he won last year's Balaclava Cup and he's won the last year's Murray Bridge Cup. Warren, I'm just holding my breath. I've actually just had a winner in the first in New Zealand. English Gambler just won the hurdle in New Zealand. So it's worth watching. It was spectacular, if nothing else. He led by about 40 lengths. So sorry if I was a bit distracted there, guys. But that's where he's going, winning partner.
Well, congratulations, and thanks for letting us know about 10 minutes earlier, Dino. We could have
I was just happy you got round, Warren.
News from Charlie Fellows overnight, too, via social media. Just reading from Charlie's post. It is with a heavy heart that we have decided to retire Prince of Iran. He has taken me places I could never have dreamed of, and I'm delighted I was here to witness my first domestic Group 1 winner. Happy retirement, old boy. And a note from Nick Luck there, Prince of Arran's been retired following a creditable run, but RV vets have advised Fellows Racing he would not be able to run in a Melbourne Cup and come to Australia. So he's been a great horse over the years, Prince of Arran, Dean, hasn't he?
He has, Warren. He's certainly, the last three Melbourne Cups, he's been a great story. And last year he all but got there. And, it was always going to be a bit of a challenge this year for him. And he retires, a happy horse. And I think, Charlie Fellows has added so much to the carnival as well.
Yeah, he's been an absolute delight, as Charlie Fellows. It's getting close to 10 o'clock. Time for Brendan Delaney to take over with Sunday Central. Let's get some runs of the day, horses to follow.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
English Gambler might be the horse to follow over the obstacles in New Zealand, but let's focus on yesterday, Dean.
I don't know if my nerves can take it, Warren. Are you allowed to have a drink at 10 o'clock?
During lockdown, yes.
Yes, I thought you might say that. Run of the day was Zaki all around Australia. I thought it was a fantastic performance that we've touched on. Horses to follow. I'm going with Sydney. I think Montefilia was a terrific run. And I thought Realm of Flowers' return was exactly where she'd want to be. If you like her for the Melbourne Cup, I think you'd be very happy with what she did yesterday.
Looking ahead at today, we're racing at Casterton and Geelong. And before I ask for your tip, Dean, Herb, a regular SMS visitor, when asking Dean for a tip today, can you ask him for something in the quaddie links at Geelong as they look hard? I need help. So I don't know if that's something that you can help Herb with, at least one or two in quaddie links at Geelong. Dina, how are you seeing today?
I can, Herb. My best is in the quaddie leg. It's race 7, number 4, Our Wind Spirit. So I'm actually tipping a good day for Lindsay Smith, because I like a horse called Aspen Colorado at Warrnambool. You'd have seen him a couple of weeks ago when you were down there. Ran very well.
Yeah, I made him a horse to follow for racing.com. Is he out to 2,000 metres? What does he step up to?
He's 1,800 metres. He's got the outside draw around Casterton, which is a bit of a trick. But, I thought he was unlucky first up and might make amends today.
Yeah, great work, Dino. As always, look forward to your contributions right throughout the week.
Terrific. Thanks, Warren.
Brendan, how do you summarise yesterday?
Run of the day, going to go with Zaki, who's hard to miss, wasn't he? With just that turn of foot that he possesses. Horse I'm following is Aussie Nugget. I think he's just about ready to win. Two runs back with lightweights have been good. Like to see him get out on a nice big track like Flemington or maybe Sandown in the coming weeks, and see him boom down the outside. I think we'll be able to collect an Aussie Nugget next time.
What are we looking forward to next couple of hours on Sunday Central?
Plenty coming up. Huge preview of the card at Geelong. We're racing on a soft 7, downgraded from a heavy 10 on Friday. Matt Welsh from racing.com will be along with his thoughts. Early start to the racing at Healesville. James Vandermeer to take us through the program there. John Ralph to talk everything footy. Was a huge night last night with the Lions and the Bulldogs. Trav Noonan with his look at the Casterton program. Howard Walter will be a full preview of the Sunshine Coast with both New South Wales meetings off. Nadia Horn with Murray Bridge, and of course Dan Hibbard will take us through the trots at Shepparton. And as always, George Faruja with his thoughts on the Healesville Cup heats this Sunday. So it's going to be a pretty bumper couple of hours coming up.
Enjoy your Father's Day post that, and enjoy your Father's Day for all the dads listening. My run of the day was Zaki. He was pretty easy to find, and I thought Irish Flame, terrific return for Brett Scott, could be the horse to follow. That takes us out for Correct Weight. Stay tuned. Brendan Delaney with Sunday Central.